Billing Office at 1-800-233-8238. That's 1-800-233-8238. Or go to HollywoodPNRC.com/racing.
Career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back about 25 minutes in, and so call it 30 minutes and change. And we'll spend part of it with Ron Anderson, the agent of the stars, who was literally, Ron, you were this close to another Derby win.
Well, Steve, I still kind of haven't recouped from all this. I feel bad for everybody, not myself, but you know, the Asmussen people and Ronnie Winchell and his whole entourage and group. The only two times in my life after being involved fairly heavily with the Derby for years, I was fortunate enough to win, I guess, six of them. Empire Maker, I thought, was a cinch.
Right.
And he came up with a bad foot 10 days out, and Bobby still thought he'd win. And this horse here was the only other horse I thought couldn't possibly get beat. And I was almost right twice. It just didn't work out. I mean, the trip that Joel got and the trip that Eat Me and Pratt got were just unbelievable. I just still can't get over it. But the horse came back good. He's on to the Preakness, and like Steve said, he'll live to battle another day at this point. And I just want, before I say anything else, I just hope everybody, and I texted you a while ago about this, I hope everybody could just appreciate your one of your regular guests, Tony Black. What an amazing person he is, first, and the way he describes the intricacies of what he says is just astonishing to me. You know, you actually feel like, you know, you've been on a horse's back or ridden a race after listening to him. He is such, I think I met him years ago. I don't know him at all, but I hope everybody appreciates just the angles and the stuff that he speaks about, it's just amazing to me. I really enjoy the little bit of time I get to hear him. It's great.
Well, he's a treasure, and not only do you get 50 years essentially of racetrack life and 5,000 plus wins, and the same is of course true of Mick. But Tony doesn't have any of that TV or radio coaching, and so it's completely unvarnished. And in fact, there's been a few. Hot takes that at the time when Tony has said things that really are just completely just raw truths you're just not going to hear from too many people with the benefit of a lifetime on the racetrack that he has.
Exactly. He's something, really.
Ron Anderson joining us in the wake of a largely successful weekend for John Velasquez and for Joel Rosario. Joel particularly comes away with the two Grade 1 wins in the Churchill Downs with Jackie's Warrior, who was really... There's actually a story to tell, and I thought that... I don't know if you heard Steve Asmussen with me on Tuesday, Ron, but he was very revealing, because I asked him a couple of questions more about Epicenter, because he handled Epicenter differently than any other Derby hopeful and starter that we've watched him angle toward Derby, because that 5 furlong work with the extended gallop out, that is not what we typically have seen from him a week out. So that was notable, and he explained he didn't like, he wasn't satisfied with the previous work that would have normally been the penultimate and then the more typical Asmussen half mile with gallop out. So he put a stiff 5 furlongs into him a week out, and that was, I talked to some, I heard from some horsemen that said, I don't know if it's a good sign or a bad sign, actually, that Steve was doing something unusual. But that came up. Pauline's Pearl wins the Grade 1 on Friday. Some thoughts about the overall weekend and then what this win by an 80-1 shot, what it means overall. And you've had the benefit, obviously, of decades of watching these weekends unfold.
Well, however Steve got to the race, was the right way. I don't get into the intricacies that you guys do with all that. I just know between he and Scott, they were as confident and as pumped up as you could possibly imagine going into any race, let alone the Derby. The horse ran unbelievable. I still can't get over it. I can't get over the trip that Joel got with the horse, and if, you learn in this business, my line is just, you gotta flip the page. Well, what's next? Because you can't dwell on this for too long, even though it was heart-wrenching. We move on, and Joel was the number one rider for the weekend with Money's One for the week. So that was all great. Two Grade Ones, like you said, fortunate enough for that. And another thing, I hope you and everybody appreciate a horse like Jackie's Warrior. I mean, Jackie's Warrior is such... Look, one of my favorite horses of all time, honest to God. You watch him reach the last quarter of a mile... I mean, he's such a cool horse. Everybody at the barn, you could stand him in the shed row with nobody even, with the shank on the ground. He's just like an old pony. He's such a cool horse and such a magnificent horse. I'm so excited to watch him and watch him win. The filly took the worst of it. and still was able to get up and win to beat She Dares the General, She Dares the Devil, which was great. So we had an outstanding week, no complaints at this point. And, you know, like I said, that race was real tough to win, and we, you know, great story with the winner, let's face it. The gentleman that trained the horse, I've never dealt with him much, maybe spoke to him a couple times on the phone over the years, but, you know, to overcome what he went through with the disaster of losing 23 horses and all, and then the rider, of which an obscure place comes from, an obscure place, it just shows you that, you know, a little guy or somebody that's small, invested in the business, can, you know, reach the top of the mountain, and that's all good, and that's all positive, and it's fun and fresh to hear stuff like that. So I'm happy for them. It's all good.
Nice. I appreciate the reaction, given, you know, the way you get to oversee things. And in talking about Jackie's Warrior, I'm gonna take an exit ramp here for a second, because I want to get your opinion on something. I'm involved in inadvertently coming out of yesterday's show and Jay Privman's visit when we were going over the Hall of Fame results, the voting results, with Beholder and Teppan getting in, and Kona Gold being denied yet again, Ron. And did you ever have Alex Solis? Did you ever have his book?
No, that's kind of a funny story. I almost had him once a very long time ago. It didn't work. You know, it was one of those timing things. It didn't work out. I kind of don't understand the Kona Gold thing. What they use as criteria for all this, I don't get. I would think that he definitely should have been in even before now, looking at the resume. But I'm not sure. You'd have to ask the powers that be what they're thinking. I don't know.
No, there's no powers. There's this universe of voters that. It's got to be 50% plus one, and there's been a backlog of sprinters for a long period, because there was a time there was somebody on the nominating committee who had a tremendous aversion, that didn't think that sprinters were a category worth considering for Hall of Fame. And so it developed this huge backlog of sprinters. And so a horse like him, who retired in 2003, you know, just had to wait more or less while several other, you know, sprint types were considered. And several have gotten in. Others had to fall by the wayside. And others ended up getting in through the Veterans Committee, including My Juliet, for instance, most recently. And that was Steve Haskin for years had tried to get My Juliet considered, and this person on the committee just kept blocking her consideration. So finally she made it through the screen door. For me, Kona Gold should have gone in when Alex Solis went in. That would have been just, you know, very, very nice. But I mean, you saw all these races. Somebody asked, when I put up the PPs this morning, somebody said, well, how do his grade one wins compare to other Hall of Famers? I don't know. There weren't any grade ones for sprinters at the time. I mean, this is the lunacy and the myopic approach that you deal with. He didn't win very many grade ones. How many do you think there were at the time? There was the Vosburgh. There was the DeFrancis. There was, I think, probably the... Well, the West Coast ones didn't... they didn't become grade ones until about that time, about 2000, about when Kona Gold was finishing his career. Races like the San Carlos and the Triple Bend and the Ancient Title. A lot of them became grade ones because of him. Ron, there's certain things that happen. Craig Perrett having to wait and as long as he did. And let's see, Garrett Gomez.
That was crazy. Craig Perrett and Garrett, too. I mean, those are easy ones to see. There's some stuff that's always gray in anything, and especially in our business, but those things are pretty black and white, and I kind of don't understand that. But, you know, they do it. They interpret things the way they do. You know, Kona Gold had a bunch of W's next to his name. He's obviously a superb horse. So I don't know. I don't know how they think. I really don't.
No, I just wanted somebody who saw him.
He's brilliant. He was brilliant, absolutely brilliant, and you know, seems to be an easy accept to be in, but you know, who knows? Mm-hmm. And there's other things to consider. I don't know how they, you know, I work for Corey Nakatani, and I think his resume definitely is a huge consideration, and they don't let them put him in. So who knows exactly how they weigh things? I don't know.
No, and the Garrett Gomez, I mean, I don't want to bring up something that's upsetting, but, you know, you don't even know at this point if it could have been something that if it had been done on the correct timing that might have contributed to, you know, to a different outcome for him.
We never know. Yeah.
Well, Ron, looking ahead to Baltimore, and you mentioned and I'm sure you had conversation with Steve. This Preakness, I think, is going to end up being really by the time everybody turns their attention to the draw Monday, I think people are going to be very excited for what's coming next week.
Yeah, it seems like early voting showing up, Epicenter showing up. You know, Johnny, fortunate enough to end up on Antonio Santos' horse, who was fourth in the Derby Simplification. The lineup looks good. I'm not sure exactly how many bodies. I think I heard you say yesterday maybe eight or something, or nine. That seems like a good group, and we'll see what happens.
Ron, you might be in the offing for what number Preakness? How many Preaknesses have you won?
I want to say four, but I'm not 100. Let's see. I think it's four. I carry a list. Preaknesses, Silver Charm, Charismatic, Red Bullet. No, only three. Only three. But you know, I like the source's chances now and going forward. I think he's an exceptional animal, and I think there's plenty of blue sky here. And just lucky enough for us to be associated with him at this point. And we'll just we'll move on from the Derby as best as we can. At this point,
Ron Anderson, everybody, fantastic, and I think you do have to round out that Preakness resume. Got to boost it up
great.
A little.
That would be great. That would
are
be
we going
to
see you? When are we seeing you in Baltimore?
I think Nance and I are going to come in on Thursday evening. We're still. I just got back to New York. I'm running around here a little bit trying to get situated, and obviously we can get there within a few hours, so we're probably going to be in Thursday night. I'll be around Friday.
Well, that doesn't give us much chance to, you know, to have a lunch, to have a dinner or something. What's your favorite Baltimore joints?
You know what, Steve? Over the years, I haven't spent enough time there to give you any ideas. And then the last couple of years with Corona, I don't really know for sure. I'll be looking for some tips from you. That's one city I haven't spent enough time.
That's why you haven't won that many Preaknesses.
I never thought of that. You're probably correct. Probably true.
Oh, my God. It's so great. The one and only Ronald T.
Thanks.
Ronnie, we'll see you during the week.
Thanks so much.
You're great. Ron Anderson, everybody, and you can follow. Ron doesn't do a lot of tweeting. Once in a while, he'll out with something. Ronald T. 54. He doesn't like it when I say the man who runs racing. Ron Anderson, so great with Johnny and with Joel Rosario. And you know the Johnny getting on simplification is intriguing because. You know, Johnny's tendency is to be a little bit more forward. So we'll see. We'll see how part of that will determine, too, on the way they draw. But I'm certainly quite willing to go back to simplification. I mean, it feels like the epicenter presence in this race is very akin to Oxbow going back to Orbs. In fact, I'll pull that chart up and so you can see and maybe put them side by side. The Oxbow Preakness and the Oxbow Orb Derby, where you know Orb passes them all to win, and it's a very similar scenario. And here was Oxbow that was in close order to the hot pace, you know, and then coming back and winning the Preakness. It really has that feel for Epicenter. Rich Ang is joining us. And Rich, good morning. How was your Derby Oaks weekend?
Well, I can honestly tell you and the listeners that I did not cash on the Kentucky Derby. I did not have Rich Strike anywhere in my radar, and I'll tell you just a quick funny story. Sandy and I, we had visitors from Kentucky in during Kentucky Derby week, and we did things with them, you know, go to shows and restaurants and stuff. And on Kentucky Derby Day, they obviously wanted to bet, even though they were not horse racing fans per se. And the woman said to me, she said, "I'm going to bet $2 across on the Rich horse because you have been so nice to us this week." So I went up and put the bet in. I bet $2, win, play, show on number 21, Rich Strike. And of all the tickets that we as a two couples put together, that was the only ticket that cashed for $263.
I love it. Oh, that's great. Well, and some people were talking about how his odds dropped from over the 100-1 to 81-1, basically 80-80, in the last I looked about an hour and a half out, and he had come under 100. So I guess probably with about 90 minutes is when he came and broke through into the, you know, under 100-1. But some people said, well, the computers and you got people named Rich. So that was the assumption.
Well, my friend who cashed said that fits into the second category. My name is Rich. We've been friends a long time. She said, "I'm going to bet $2 across because you've been so nice to us, Rich." And here it is. Rich Strike wins the Kentucky Derby.
Unbelievable. Well, and you know, Marty, the first I got to talk to post race, you know, after leaving the track, was leaving the, you know, the track apron, and I didn't go across to the grass and to the trophy presentation. Marty. He was still at his desk at that point, and Marty had bet $8 to win. and he, Marty, was kicking himself. He said there's no reason why I shouldn't have put 50, you know, on the nose, because there's a wonderful, Marty just put up a wonderful video somebody caught of Eric Reed getting to the podium in the press media center, and runs into Gary Yount and Marty, and Marty's known Eric his entire career, 40 years, and knows Herb Reed as well, Eric's dad, and so Marty and Eric, and Gary Yount too, just had a huge kind of a group hug that was really sweet. So Marty at least, he was happy that he at least had a ticket, to go cash on the winner.
No, it's fantastic. I mean, that's a lot of, that's a big win right there. That's over $1,000 right there. And, as soon as they crossed the finish line, when I saw the horse and I saw the jockey, for anybody who plays simulcast on Monday and Tuesday, they know who Sonny Leone is, because there's very few racetracks that are running on Monday and Tuesday. And, during the wintertime, he was the big jockey at Mahoning Valley. I mean, he would win 25% of his races, and the same at River Downs, the old River Downs, now Belfella Park. So anybody who bets those Monday, Tuesday simulcasts know who this kid is. And, he's one of the winningest jockeys the last few years, well over 200 races. So he's not some kid without skill. Without talent, he's just had a. I sent out a tweet that he's basically a big fish in a small pond, and now the world had a chance to actually see him operate. And this kid can ride. There's no question about it. He can ride, but he chooses to stay in the smaller circuit. But maybe opportunities are going to come down his way for more important rides and riding in bigger circuits. We'll have to see.
Well, and it's not on that front. It's going to be very similar, probably. We'll see how it plays out, but it could be very similar to Stewie Elliott. I mean, Smarty Jones comes along. Stewie comes close to winning a Triple Crown, and it just goes back to riding at Philly for the next few years. Now is riding in the West or in the Southwest, and same kind of thing. Not everybody has to be in an A circuit. Tony Blackgood today. Tony could have gone to New York very easily, and he stayed. Philly. Ramon Dominguez in the winters. Ramon made the decision during the year he would stay in New York. He didn't go run to Florida. He wanted the stable, the stable lifestyle, and not itinerant. So it's an amazing, just amazing story, Rich. How about the rest of the action? How did you make out with your analysis?
Well, I thought there were some real good high points on both Friday and Saturday. As far as my handicapping, I thought my handicapping on my BruiseNet sheet was very strong. And if I could just comment about also something I tweeted out, and I got some comment back, but I thought that the best 3-year-old. That I saw run on Saturday was Jack Christopher. And
sure.
I thought his race in the Pat Day Mile was very impressive. He wasn't wound as tight as can be, because it was his first start in a long, long while. And, when you look at the pace of the Pat Day Mile, it was a pretty aggressive pace. He was into it. And then he kept on going. I mean, he eventually drew off at the end, but I think this horse is going to be a major player for Chad Brown, and it'll be interesting to see. At some point, his path and the path of some of these other top 3-year-olds, like an Epicenter and a Zandon, who is also from the Chad Brown barn, and Messier and some of these others, and even Rich Strike, they're going to intersect, and it'll probably happen in a race like either the Haskell or the Travers, down the road this summer. But this is going to be a lot of fun, because Jack Christopher, because of his injury, did not have a chance to make that trip, the Kentucky Derby. He was behind schedule, but I was following his workouts, Steve. He had a long, long pattern of workouts. So Chad wasn't going to send him out set out a short horse, but he wasn't as wound as tight as he's going to be because his campaign is in front of him, not behind him. But I was really impressed by Jack Christopher.
Well, and you also can fold in there was Congressman who won that mile maiden race and got a 91 buyer, and then there was Strobe at the end of the day Saturday that was impressive with his performance, and that had been highly anticipated, but a 92 for him. So there were even two maiden winners that are going to basically be jumping into the season at the quarter pole, but they're all welcome. Creative Minister, who McPeak is going to turn right around and run in the Preakness. So, we're only a third of the way into the year, and, there's still horses that are emerging. Then you're going to have horses that are going to make transition to the grass, and which in a lot of cases is going to be the proper surface for them. So we're getting going on the classic trail. We got another 4 weeks of it between Preakness and then Belmont, and then the summer will be upon us, Rich. So not a bad first stop on the classic train.
I was really glad you mentioned Strobe, because when I was doing my handicapping of that Saturday card, when I came to Strobe, I'll tell you how highly touted this horse was. Even in Las Vegas, Nevada, I had heard about this horse. So I made him one of my best bets of the day on the card, Strobe, and that was just a super impressive race. Brad Cox, obviously, has really developed into one of the top trainers in the country. He gets nice horses to train, but still, that was an eye-popping performance. So, if Strobe is a stock, that's certainly a stock I would like to buy early, because he sure looks like he's going to be a good one.
Yeah, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. And I did as well. I singled him. We just needed to have been a little bit more expansive. We won't do it today, but I do at some point, Rich. I want to have a ticket conversation. We're out of time, but I want your view of the all button concept and how to successfully employ it, or if you ever use it. So think about that, and we'll have that conversation, because a lot of people very successfully, particularly with Jack Christopher and Jackie's Warrior as places you could single, a lot of people were unabashed about using all 20 and hoping for a chaotic result. So that's a discussion worth having. Let me, though, ask you, with a couple of minutes, pick six carryover at Belmont, and I'm hoping you've got an opinion or two that we might rely on.
Well, let me give out one horse. I'll just give out one horse. It's in the ninth race, and when I kind of went through these races last night, I do like the number three, Pave My Way, 9-2 in the morning line. I read Ortiz riding for Orlando Noda. I think this horse has a good early speed. It gets back on the grass, and just an interesting angle for me. I think this horse is going to be forwardly placed for Noda. So let's try number three, Pave My Way, in the ninth at Belmont as part of that pick six ticket.
I don't deny at all, and I may use as many as five to close this out, because Sal's Dream Girl and Out of Sight, those were my first two, that Sal's Dream Girl from Danny Gargan, and then Paved My Way, and I didn't know what to do about two horses, Cape Cod Causeway of Hennig's, and even Duck Fat, who's 15-1 from Jimmy Ferraro. I thought this was a very tricky group, and it's funny, it's maiden state-bred fillies and mares going a mile on the grass, and as opposed to the two maiden 25 state-bred races earlier, the fourth and the sixth, this is not a bunch of no-hopers. I mean, there's some horses here with some talent and that are okay, and so it's a little tricky. Plus, you got second-timers. You never know when a second-time starter, Michelle Nevins, got that Royal Dancer, making a second start and stretching out a little bit. This is a tricky, tricky read. You got those two horses that I mentioned, Duck Fat and Out of Sight. They've had plenty of chances, but they're coming back into swing of things off the winter and getting back on grass. In fact, Out of Sight even is coming back at a second start already. On the Belmont turf. So tricky read, but I can't argue with you at all about Pave My Way, who moves from Carlos Martin to Orlando Noda for the three-year-old debut. Rich Eng, everybody. Rich Eng for Pro Pick, and of course RaceDayLasVegas.com for Rich's opinions on the West Coast circuit and the simulcast cards. Rich, good luck today, and we'll talk to you from Baltimore next Thursday.
Hey, thank you, Steve. Don't eat too many crab cakes, and good luck to everybody and all your listeners out. Let's make some money.
I will take the over on the crab cake consumption. There will be more crab cake, no matter what number gets posted as the over-under. I will take the over. There you go. Rich Eng, everybody, to round out the morning, and which whistled by. Rich Eng, of course. Ron Anderson, Tony, and Joe Clancy. Earlier, Bill Gallo joined us to get ready for the nice weekend of that lies ahead for the jumpers. And those of you that are considering a trip out to Percy Warner, the Iroquois. Good luck if you're playing today. I will finalize the pick six ticket here for the carryover sequence and put it up at the website shortly. And we'll be back for weekend preview tomorrow, which includes, in hour three, a good 45-minute recap of Derby weekend with Paul Matisse. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.
First and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire, Maryland's 5/8 mile training track, completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.